Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Friday to you. So I have a question for you. When you hear the word mentor, what comes to mind? Some would say that their mentors are those famous dead guys, those famous classic authors like C.S. Lewis, Spurgeon, Tozer, Chambers, Andrew Murray. While others are very strict with the definition of mentorship, and they consider it more of a structured relationship with a very distinct goal. And still others look at mentorship as a way to invest in the lives of others, but that investment often looks different on the varying relationships involved. So what do you say? How would you define mentorship? And does it have a role in your life? Well, we're going to explore what that means to help someone else grow in their faith and invest in their lives and why that matters. Now I have another question for you, and this is for our second hour topic. Do you remember the news story of the Christian doctor who contracted the Ebola virus in Africa? Well, in the second hour today on Live the Promise, you're going to hear my powerful conversation with Dr. Kent and Amber Brantley about how God led them to serve in medical missions, what happened when Kent was diagnosed with Ebola, and he's going to tell the story of how God brought him back here, how God restored him, and their perspective on God's faithfulness amidst hardship. Amazing, amazing conversation. We pre-recorded that, so you're in for a treat today. So here's a few questions for you to think about as the first hour unfolds. Who in your life would you say has deeply impacted you and shaped your thinking? And do you currently have a mentor? And how about a mentee? Is there someone you're investing in who's benefiting from what God has entrusted to you? Well, today we're going to talk with three very special women who are very committed to the idea of mentorship. So let me not waste another moment. Let me tell you about them and we'll get them on the show. Stephanie Armstrong is passionate about building into the lives of young wives and moms while helping them to know and love the Word of God so that they can grow in spiritual maturity and to begin discipling their own children. She and her husband Travis have been married for 12 years and she's a mommy and mentor to her favorite mentees, Ava, Carter, and Walker. Well, Cindy Berglund has served with CRU, Campus Crusade, and Moms in Touch in her community. She serves on the board of Legacy Living Ministries and Lamplighters International while continuing to lead the Titus II ministry at her home church. Cindy's been married to Don for over 35 years, and she is mom to four grown children. And Laura Ludvigson has been Ludvigson, I'm going to have to get her on and correct me because I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. She's been discipling young women since 2001. She's also served with the Titus II leadership team, helped to develop online curriculum, toolkit for mentors hosted on Grace Church of Eden Prairie's website. She's been married to Mark for over 40 years and is mom to three grown children and two adorable grandchildren. Laura, Stephanie, and Cindy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Great to be here.
So good to have you. So I'm going to, just to keep it so you don't feel like you're stepping on each other, I'll address your name and then ask you the question. And then if any of you want to chime in, just let's do that, okay? Because I really want to hear from all of you. Cindy, we're going to start with you. We love to start off the conversation talking scripture. And I want to know if you have either a life verse you've been thinking about or a verse that you've just been pondering in scripture these days that you can share with us.
Okay. The verse that I've been thinking about so much lately is the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28:18-20. And this scripture talks about how we need to go into all the world and make disciples. And Jesus gives us five things in this scripture that he talks about. He says that we are to go, we are to make disciples, we are to baptize them, teach them. And he says, I am with you always. And this is Jesus' command. And it's been resonating in my heart for several years, but even more so in the last couple of years, and that we need to heed Jesus' call because it is a command and not an option.
Well, how does it change you, Cindy, as you think about just your investment in mentoring, just in that regard? You know, I know whenever we do the things that Christ has asked us to do, it changes us in the process. I would love to know just how the idea of mentoring and investment and the Great Commission, as you've walked it out in, under your own convictions of what you read in Scripture, How has it impacted your personal walk with God?
It's changed me a lot and continues to change me because I have to dig into Scripture and live a Christ-centered life day by day and moment by moment so that the people that I'm working with won't see, that they would want to see more Christ-likeness. And so I've been driven to have the disciplines in my Christian life. And I struggle all the time with that. You know, I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm desperate before you. I'm crying out to you. I want you to speak to me through your scriptures this morning. Mm-hmm. I want you to give me direction. I want to know your word and obey your word, and I want to live it out. So it's drawn me into a deeper walk with the Lord because we can't pass on what we don't possess. Mm-hmm. And so he's always driving me back to him and saying, don't walk in your own strength and your own power. It's not a performance-driven life,
yeah,
but it being so desperate for me to show up in your life today.
You know, he really does call us to things that are far beyond us so that we can walk intimately, we can depend on him, we can see his power mightily at work, and we need that dependence. That's our safest place. It's like, yes, we get in trouble when we have small dreams, right, we go on mm-hmm. our own strength, and we miss him. We miss the whole God factor and the whole journey. And so it's such a great invitation for him to say, partner with me in the impossible and then depend on me every step of the way. I just love that. Laura, how about you? Do you have a verse you can share with us?
I do. The verse that comes to my mind, especially related to this topic, is Colossians 1:28. When Paul talks about warning and teaching everyone with wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Mm-hmm. That maturity factor is such a big deal to me personally. But the Paul is saying in that verse, it is not enough to profess Christ and say you're a Christian. I mean, that's important, but it doesn't stop there. And if it does stop there, like it says in Ephesians, again, Paul the author, then you stay in infancy. And you're tossed to and fro. And there's a lot out there to toss us to and fro.
Yes.
And so my passion is that the church would embrace this means of maturing its people. When you disciple someone, you are maturing the body of Christ. And I want the church, the local church, the international church, whatever, to grasp that pattern of maturing its people. So that not only do they know the relationship that Cindy's talking about, but that they know now they have to take it out. It's an inside and an outside thing.
Yeah.
Need to take it out.
That's so good, Laura. You know, we've talked about this on the show a number of times, but, you know, it's one thing when you're a new Christian and you're immature. That's completely expected.
Totally.
And there's grace in the process. And we can be such judgmental people when a new believer has rough edges. But it's a whole other thing to be an old Christian who's still immature. And that is where I think a lot of the unbelieving world stumbles. In our immaturity, in places where we're not growing up and we're still acting like children.
Right.
And it truly is when someone who's an unbeliever comes across a mature believer, which is so, they're so often marked by humility and love and kindness and the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Then trust is developed and then an openness to the gospel is developed.
Right.
But the opposite is true is when they encounter people who are selfish and reactionary and adversarial in conversations, they're so shunned and so turned off by it that, we must see maturity happen in the body of Christ. And I love that you're committed to it. I just think that's a huge need nowadays. So thank you so much for sharing.
You bet.
Okay, Stephanie, how about you?
Well, the Lord really has impressed in my heart 2 Timothy 2:22, and it relates directly to what Laura just said. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And, you know, this is Paul, again, talking to Timothy, so we get to see that great mentor relationship. And this is his final words to Timothy. You know, facing death, these are the things he's really impressing upon him. And, you know, what I love about this verse is it's a call to maturity again.
Mm-hmm.
It's fleeing from those youthful evil desires. And that's an immature faith also. It's not just the temptation of youth or whatever.
Right.
And it's a real turning away from that. So that we can pursue, you know, as he says, righteousness, faith, love, and peace. It's godliness, mm-hmm. the things of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as we mentor the next generation, it's not just that we want to pass on our great ideas or that we want to even share the wisdom that we have. No, we really want to call them to maturity in Christ. We want them to turn from an immature faith, you know, as we said, the milk that mm-hmm. so many Christians live on their whole life. They don't ever attempt the solid food. We want to turn them from that And we want them to really pursue the Lord. And I love what this verse says, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, again, it's the call to community. It's not a faith that's an isolating thing that we just do our own thing. This is such a beautiful way that Paul is encouraging Timothy to do this in community, do this with people. And again, do it with those who call on the Lord. Don't do it with people who call on their own wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to pass on our great ideas to people. We really want them to learn to stand on their own in Scripture and to seek the Lord on their own, and then in a real authentic and pure way to share their life and for us to share our life with them so that we can do this thing together and mm-hmm. we can produce mature disciples who make mature disciples.
Excellent.
You know, it's that multiplication thing.
Very well said. I wonder if for you, who was your first mentor? What was your first mentoring experience?
You know, I am so grateful. I can say with confidence, really, my mom was my first mentor.
Excellent.
Definitely, you know, I wouldn't say it was a formal mentorship way back when, but I just look with great fondness on my growing up years, and especially my teenage years. Again, I didn't look at her in those years as, boy, Mom, you're a great mentor.
Everything you say is brilliant.
Right? Yeah, that didn't happen a whole lot, bless her heart. No. It was brilliant, but I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But really, my college years, when I got out of my house on my own for the first time, my mom has just faithfully poured into my life all of my days and to this day still. And it's changed seasonally, you know, as my life changes. And now I look at her for a role in, you know, motherhood and marriage and all of that. But really, she has been my first mentor, and she's the blessing that God's given us, you know, that continues. But
wow, she must be so very proud of you.
Well, I'm sure she is.
I'll give her a call because I'm sure you won't tell me. But yeah. So, Laura, you know, talk about the definition, if you would, of mentorship. And I, you know, there's times I think people get a little funky about what it means and almost defensive about, because everybody has their definition. And it's like, no, don't tell me it's about that. It's about this. And but I'd love to know, just from your perspective, what is mentorship?
Wow, we have an hour?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely we do.
And I'm all about concise, but I'll try and explain it to you the way we see it. Mentoring is women. First of all, we call it spiritual mentoring. Because did you know that 40% of the millennials have career mentors? It's a hot topic.
Wow.
It's a hot need. And so we call it spiritual mentoring because you can be mentored in a lot of different areas. So this is spiritual mentoring, women wanting to pour in and invest their lives into other women one-on-one or in small groups for the purpose of growing up in Christ. That's the basic definition.
For you, I mean, I've got to say we have half men, half women listening. So we've got 50-50 split. And my husband's been mentoring a young man for quite a few years. So I know this is where your ministry is and what we're going to talk about. But I just want to make sure I make that point, because young men and old men, they need those mentor relationships too, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can hear it genderless if you want.
Exactly.
If I use the word her, put him in there.
There you go.
Absolutely. It is a call for all of us to have our one man and our one woman. Mm-hmm. It is a call for all. It is not an option. I don't think it's been recommended. It is required. And so we see it as a combination of maturing new believers and teaching them how to win other believers to Christ and build them up in the faith. It's a continuous circle. It is a movement. It's not a ministry because it doesn't have a calendar. It oozes in and out of all other people's ministries. We go in and help other ministry leaders, help them to see who they might want to mentor in the midst of their ministry.
Excellent.
It does not have walls around it. And you don't know where your mentoring is going to go. The ripple effect, you will lose track of who's mentoring who down the line.
Wow. And that's a great word. Wow, we're talking mentorship today. Love for you to chime in the conversation. Not taking calls today, but you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Tell me about your mentor, or maybe you've been mentoring someone, or if you wanted a mentor, what you would feel like you need in mentorship. We're going to unpack more, the role, the reason, and why to be involved when we come back.
Just got and take another step.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really glad to have you listening today. I'm wondering this question for you. Do you have a mentor? Do you have somebody who invests in you, who's really teaching you about Scripture, teaching you about what biblical maturity looks like? And maybe you're mentoring someone. I'd love to know that as well. We're not taking calls today, but I'd love for you to email me. Tell me about your mentor, about somebody who's mentoring you, what you love about the relationship, maybe questions you have. Susie@myfaithradio.com. I have a panel of women in studio today from Grace Church Eden Prairie here in the Twin Cities. Cindy Berglund, Laura Ludvigsen. Laura, help me out.
Yes, Ludvigsen.
Ludvigsen.
There you go.
She says it's so, well, it's her name.
That's
but she
name.
Says it like she knows it. And Stephanie Armstrong. It's so great to have you gals with us. And here's a question for you, Cindy. You know, many Christian youth are leaving the church as soon as they reach adulthood. And many say when they ask them why, that they just don't feel connected. They don't know how to articulate their faith. They don't feel connected to the Word or to other people. And they feel like those that they've known or rubbed shoulders with are mostly church members that are hypocritical, maybe not living what they say. But one thing I've heard from key leaders and pastors who are going after these young people is that even though many of them are leaving in droves, many of those who are leaving really want a mentor. I mean, they really would love someone to invest in them. Is that something you've seen as well?
Yes, we really have seen that, especially with the younger people. We've seen with some of the younger gals that once they have a mentor, they tell their other friends, and then their friends all want a mentor as well. As Laura said, 40% of millennials actually do have a mentor in the career world. And I think if they were offered it in the church, they would want this. They have a deep desire to be able to have a relationship and a deep relationship with somebody that's older than them. They have a desire to want to study the Word and want to know what it means to live it out. And they have a desire to pass that on to someone else. And they have younger people, you know, the junior high and the high schoolers. And so some of the gals that we work with, they actually have a disciple in the senior high, and then sometimes the senior high have them in the junior high. So it's exciting to see that once they have a mentor. And then, you know, we always say, well, we'll try this for 9 months or we'll try this for a year. And what happens is that they end up being with you for quite a long time.
So great. You know, my hubby and I have a mentor couple. It's been 12 years. We have dinner, candlelight dinner with them once a month.
Okay.
And
awesome.
And it's probably not in the structured sense that I think you probably operate in. I want to hear more about that. But I will say, you know, the three things that drew us to them is the way they manage their time, their money, and then their pursuit of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Those were three things. As young, you know, they're down the road from us in all those ways, in the years and maturity and experience. And they've invested in us. And every time I'm writing a book, she prays me through and she reads my chapters and writes in the margins in the pre-process, you know what I mean? So their investment is invaluable. And then they're always a text away if we need them. And they have changed our lives. And so now we're doing that for some other young folks who are coming behind us. But I want you to say more. You were going to speak to this whole idea of mentorship in young people.
Well, it is about relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts and is built on relationships. Jeff Myers has written a book called Grow Together. And he says that when a young adult person has an adult in their life, they are twice as likely to stay in the church. But when the young person has a mentor, she is three times as likely to stay in the church. We have a huge responsibility to these 78 million millennials. They're stronger and bigger than we are. I'm a boomer. but only 15% claim to be Christians. And of those, an even smaller percent would stick to the, you know, the understanding of who Christ is, according to, you know, Northwestern College. So it's even smaller than 15%.
Wow.
And they're the ones that are going to have to carry this on.
How did this conviction arise in you? Were you mentored?
I'm the exact opposite of Stephanie. I had a really sad childhood. Later we'll have a cup of coffee. I'll tell you all about it. But no one mentored me. But one of my top strength finders is Lerner. And so I heard about Christ when I was 16, and I was ferocious about learning about him. So I would seek out people and pastors and preachers and
good
books.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very passionate about this because it's lonely and it's hard. And I went up the hard side of the mountain. So it doesn't have to be that way, and it wasn't intended to be that way.
So tell me about this program at Grace Eden Prairie. How was it born, and what is it exactly, Laura?
Grace Church in Prairie has a MOPS program, and 8 years ago, one of those mothers of preschoolers came to somebody at the end of the school year, calendar ended, and she said to one of the MOPS leaders, "Will you mentor me?" She then gathered a bunch of women together, and they prayed, and they went to another church who was mentoring and learned from them. Since then, we have learned so, so much. We have gotten it to such a fabulous results that we want to share it with others. Hmm. Do you want to know the nitty-gritty of what we do?
Yes, I'd love to hear that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We are intentional and we are relational. So we're intentional because we have some curriculum that we feel addresses the needs of a young believer who needs to mature. So we talk about the five basic disciplines that they need to understand, and we match curriculum that helps a mentor address those five disciplines. Being in the Word, praying, not just a grocery list, praying what you are hearing the voice of God, studying Scripture, memorizing Scripture, Holy Spirit, how to not be driven on your own energy, but on the Holy Spirit. And then finally, learning to turn around and witness and tell others. Those are five major cogs in the wheel that should be in place for every Christian going at 80, 90, 100% as best you can with the Lord, learning all that. So we have curriculum that addresses that. That's the intentional part. But the relational part is huge. It's the life on life. I have pictures of my mentees. Cindy and I mentor a couple together. We go to weddings together. Oh, boy, do we go to weddings together. You mentor in the 20s, you better have a pocketbook for wedding gifts. But weddings, they come over to my house. They're snoopy. Mm. They're very snoopy. They want to know who we are, and what's that magazine and why do you get it? And what do you think about this that just happened on the news? So it's exciting to have that intentional and relational piece come together. And that's what builds trust and vulnerability, honesty. Now you can get into accountability. That's another big piece.
So do these people pursue you?
Both. Mm. They have not yet been taught to pursue us, but we have had some pursue us. We try to advertise, come get us. We're ready. And so we're trying to build a pool of mentors who are looking for mentees and who are ready to be paired off if we need to do something a little bit more organized.
Okay. Do you want to add to that?
Yes. One of the things that we do when we're with our mentees, we try to do three things. We try to be in the Word. We try to help them with prayer, and we try to help them with life situations. And we all know that when we're meeting for an hour and a half or 2 hours, that you don't hit all of those all of the time. But we like them to have all three. A lot of times they will come and they'll have a prayer request, and or a heartfelt need. They'll have fear, they'll have worry, they'll have anxiety. We call it felt needs.
So you go with what they're dealing with at the time, and
yeah.
And so okay,
and then we bring the Word of God to that, okay. And we bring prayer to that. So we meet them where they're at and make sure that they get some guidance from the Word, and that they can. Sometimes we'll send them away and say, spend a couple hours with the Lord. Just take your Bible, take your journal, and hear what God is saying to you about this. Some of them, they have to break up with their boyfriend or...
Okay, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the practicals, the ins and outs of mentoring, more when we come back. Just let that truth sink in, and it'll heal your soul. No matter what you're walking through, you belong to Jesus. His promises are true for you. You walk with Him. He will never forsake you. And if you've never given your life to Christ, today would be a perfect day to do that. Get on your knees, surrender, admit your need, repent of your sin, ask Jesus to come into your life, and walk with him and see what love will do. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So glad you tuned in today. I've got a panel of leaders from Grace Church Eden Prairie here in the Twin Cities talking about the importance of mentorship and unpacking what this looks like. And I think oftentimes it's intimidating. On one hand, I get a lot of different requests from young women about mentorship, and I have different gals I'm investing in at different levels. But there's other people who often tell me they get that request, and they just say no, that they're too busy. But underneath it is they're really afraid. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping to kind of destigmatize that a little bit. But Stephanie, you told me during the break that your husband's youth pastor mm-hmm. at Grace Church Eden Prairie, and you've really got some insight into this emerging generation. Give us some characteristics of them and what we should know about them as far as what it takes to reach them and speak into their lives.
Sure. Well, it's such a privilege to serve the next generation. Let me say that first. Mm-hmm. So I am passionate about them, and I am thrilled that we get that opportunity. I do have some interesting research just from Dr. Jeff Myers, again, from Summit Ministries in Colorado. He really looked at the millennials, he calls them the emerging generation, and came up with kind of 12 characteristics about them. And I would say wholeheartedly they are true, and we see this all the time. One of them is that they live in complexity. So maybe a previous generation, the boomer generation, was all about the bottom line. You know, just give us the truth, give it to us quickly. And this generation is the opposite. They're not in a rush to find answers or get there quickly as possible. It's as much about the journey for them as it is the destination. So you got to take that into account when you're meeting with them. They're overly self-confident in general. Mm-hmm. This is a generation really that's been cushioned from failure often. So that produces this real,
overdeveloped.
They often want to change the world. I think that's why you see social justice issues, really resonating, which is great. But at the same time, sometimes they tend to seek leadership because it makes them feel good or look good. And so you want to address that. They often have a negative view of the church, which is a very humbling thing that we have to embrace that. Mm-hmm. We've got to, instead of being irritated by it, we've really got to accept them on their terms and help win them back in a way. They want what works. They're not interested in things that have no results. They wholeheartedly embrace moral relativism, which is especially true in the area of personal morality. So, it's not hard to see that on display culturally right now. They're multitaskers, which really means they're rarely unplugged. So this is a whole nother part of this generation's struggle is what does it mean to live in this very wired world? They're slow to make decisions, which can lead to a lack of commitment, overwhelmingly stressed out. They are under pressure. They feel unfulfilled and under pressure all the time. They're extremely connected, social media, peer-to-peer relationships are extremely valuable, which is wonderful because that also shows us that they desperately want to connect with us, with people. They're just unsure sometimes of a different generation how to do that. They're uninhibited, so sometimes there's a struggle with boundaries and discretion. And then the saddest one of all to me is that they're lonely. Mm. So we have this very connected world, digitally. But it's really eroding relationship, and that is what is so beautiful about mentoring. It's what's beautiful about our faith. Without a relationship with Jesus, one could look at the Bible, one could look at teachings from Jesus, and it could be very cold, very misunderstood. But, of course, we know that it's our relationship with him that opens that whole other dimension to him, and that's the way that we get to know his heart, which then makes his teaching and the writing and the Bible, all of that full color comes to life. So we have such an opportunity to reach this generation. But one thing that we do need to do is we need to understand them. And so some common ways that maybe the generational divide has played out is that sometimes you get the condemnation between generations. So an older generation looking at a younger and always saying, what you're doing is bad.
And making blanket statements about them.
They don't hear that. That just turns them off immediately. Or regulation, where we say, I will accept you to the degree that I can change you. Mm. And again, who wants to hear that? Who wants their acceptance to be based on that? But then on the flip side, there's accommodation, where you just say, I endorse you as is, and I won't make any judgments. You're fine how you are. That doesn't, help, really. Agreement, I think everything you say is true. Again, we're not really helping. or just imitating them, trying to be like them, trying to dress like them, trying to act like them. Like, that is not what they're after.
That's nauseating, actually.
It is.
It's embarrassing.
It's not.
You're 60. You don't need
exactly.
skateboard shoes. I'm sorry.
That's right. That's right. So the best way to really reach them is to understand them and to realize that, you know, every generation has dignity and God is at move or at work moving in each generation. So we don't want to just dismiss them because they're younger and think they have nothing to add. The Lord is doing something significant in every generation. And it's, you know, they were born for such a time as this, just as we were. And so we really, you know, to be able to sit with somebody from the emerging generation and say, I see where you're coming from. And I think together we can help each other learn. We can share our story. We can go to the Word and see what God has to say about it. But I think we can grow together. That's really the point, is the growing together.
And that's such a humble approach, because you're honoring their story. You're
right.
Admitting your need for community and relationship, too. Do you
Absolutely.
Know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because the superiority, you know what I mean? Buck up, buttercup, I'll let you spend some time with me. It doesn't work at all.
No.
I got to tell you, I marvel at how many key leaders that I've interviewed, key notable authors, pastors, Christian leaders in our day today, who were not raised in a Christian home, raised in dysfunction, but either somebody invited them to church and or while they were at church, a youth leader or somebody said, I see something in you and gave them a little bit of time. And I'm like, do these people know the impact that they had in their one invitation or sowing those few seeds? I mean, we can't underestimate the power of that kind of investment.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, talk about, Laura, if you would, about some of the benefits of mentoring that maybe that aren't as obvious to us. I mean, we're talking community, we're talking investment, we're talking maturity. Anything that has surprised you that wasn't overt and obvious?
One of the things that has impressed me when I've been mentoring is how accountable I feel for their lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm not their mother, and we talk about that as soon as I meet them. I'm not even your aunt. Mm-hmm. But one of the youngsters that I've been mentoring would come each time when we would meet, and she'd have her little journal and her pretty colored pens, and she's so cute. And we'd talk and talk and talk, and then every once in a while she'd open up her journal and she'd write something down. And I'd say, what are you writing down? And she said, what you just said. Really? Wow. What did I just say? And so it made me realize my walk with the Lord was foundational to helping her, and that the overflow of my life, like Cindy said, you can't pass on what you don't possess. And you can fool them a little bit at a time, but those millennials have good baloney detectors.
That's
and
right.
So I needed to be in the Word and have it fresh and real and authentic for myself. So and so I could be that for them, because they watch you. They ask you. They write down what you say, for goodness sakes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
Yeah. You know, I think there's there's this misconceptions about why we might not mentor, and that is one, right? We think, boy, I don't want someone watching my life. And in reality, you know, if we go back to Deuteronomy 6, and we look at the commandment to impress, you know, God's commands on our children, the Lord is very specific about when to do that, when we sit, when we rise, when, you know, lie down along the way. That's exactly what we need to be doing for them. It's not rocket science. It's not that we have to come into this with this theological degree and we're just imparting all this great teaching. Mm-mm. Hopefully there's some teaching happening, but it's really an invitation to your life. And it's not even that you have to clean it all up before they're in there. You know, it's an honest, listen, this is where I'm at. This is what the Lord's teaching me. We just have to be like a few steps ahead of whoever's behind us. Mm. That's it.
Wow, that's good.
You know, and that frees us too. We don't have to. I think so many people are held back in this because they just give that automatic, I don't have what it takes. And in reality, the Lord is never asking us to give more than what we already have. And going slow and starting slow, there's beauty in that. There's progression in that. So I love to hear when, you know, we encourage one another, like, don't be so intimidated by this. This can be intimidating. It doesn't have to be. And that's not what they're looking for. They're not looking for perfect. We got to drop the perfect thing and just be real with them.
And be willing to say, I don't know the answer to
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's look.
That speaks more sometimes than coming up with a really great sounding answer.
80% of the time, what I end up sharing with my mentee on a topic has come up in my own prayer time with the Lord.
Absolutely.
So it's fresh. I don't have to think or make it up. It's just like, huh, I was just thinking that. I wonder if the Lord knows I'm mentoring you.
Yeah.
You
know, and that's so a good point. Isn't that a good point?
Yes.
Because you're not at it alone. I mean, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Right.
So for you, you're in His yes when you're doing that. So you're not going it alone. Did you want to add something?
Well, I think as you seek for answers together, I think that's so important, because if we say we don't really have the answer, but we'll go to God's word, let's go to God's word together and let's really dig in and see what God has to say to us. I think that that is so valuable. Another thing that's very valuable is that they come to you and meet needs in your own life. And my daughter has just gone on the mission field and my mom just passed away, and I have had some of these gals just pour scripture into me, praying for me, and just coming alongside of me. And it's been such a blessing. So it's really two ways. It's iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. It's allowing them into your life enough to see where you hurt so that they can come in and minister to you as well as you ministering to them.
Mm. Good word. Good word.
And I think another thing, you know, as we are as baby boomers, we want purpose and satisfaction in our life. We want joy in our life. We want fulfillment, all of these things in our life. And when we're investing in somebody else, we're allowing God to invest in us so that we can invest in somebody else. It gives us real joy, purpose, and fulfillment. And so I think it's a great thing for us personally as well.
Mm. Remember when I was in college, I became a Christian in eighth grade. Didn't grow up in a typical evangelical home, so I was just sort of, I didn't have a youth group or anything like that, but a passion to ferocious, just love the word. When I got into college, I didn't have a core support, and so I was kind of wandering, floundering a little bit, one foot in and one foot out. But one particular morning, it happened to have had some great time with the Lord, and went to class, and these identical twins, cannot tell them apart. They both were staring at me, and I'm like, "Do I mean something wrong with me?" And they tugged on my shirt and said, "You have something different on you and about you. And what is it? What's different about you?" And I knew it was the Lord, because I just had been so basking with Him in the Word. And I, you know, the professor started to talk, and I said, "Do you have a few minutes after?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll tell you." And so after we went to the cafe, and I told them about Jesus and led them to the Lord. And I, at the same time, had a roommate who was, you know, having a great time, if I can say it, in a way that you don't want to. And it was constantly stressful for me. I'd be sleeping out in the family room type of thing. And I hated it so bad. Well, they invited me to just be their roommate, because we were fast friends. Wow. And this discipleship thing happened where we were digging in the Word together, and it activated something in me. And I'll never forget what that did. It's like, while they were so hungry, as you were saying, it makes you so accountable. By me digging in to get answers, it activated something, and I honestly have not looked back since then.
Wow.
I mean, it's so important, as you were saying, you know, it's for them, but it's for us too. And we need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about just some of the logistics around mentoring and maybe some of the expectations that we think are on mentoring that maybe aren't necessarily true. So don't go away. More conversation up ahead in a moment.
Childlike heart, lead me to where you are, 'cause I'm coming back to my first love, only you.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I've got a group of leaders from Grace Eden Prairie here in the Twin Cities in studio, panel of women talking about the power of mentorship. There's a conference coming up, and it's geared towards women, but I want you men to know, because I know plenty of you listen, that mentorship is for men too. And watching my husband mentor this young man for the last, 7 years, seeing the leadership qualities come out of this young guy, and seeing, as these gals have been saying, it activates something even in my own husband, is so powerful. So I challenge you to prayerfully consider who you would mentor and who's mentoring you. So let's talk about this conference coming up, Stephanie. What can you tell us about it, and who's it for?
You know, it's for women of all ages and stages. Whether you have mentoring experience or you don't, we are sharing our experience and what this has looked like with real practical, transferable resources that we're going to give away, We just basically have felt for the last 2 years that the Lord really wanted us to share with other churches. Will be there, you know, like this is for all kinds of people. What we've learned about mentoring, how to do this. It's a real nuts and bolts conference. I'm excited about it. There are lots of different options, breakouts, and there's some general sessions where we really talk about the call, addressing the call in Scripture for mentoring, the need, a little bit about the generations and all that. And then you can choose these breakouts. So it's exciting. We're excited about it. First time we've done it. But it's definitely, you know, if you have any interest in this or you really don't even understand it, it'd be a great conference to come and just really soak up, like, what is this? How do I do this?
So this is an equipping conference, isn't it?
It really is.
It's a good word.
Yep, it is. It really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are all you all going to be speaking?
Yep,
we are.
Yeah.
We are.
Very good.
Yeah.
And so your breakout is on?
Mine is on relationships.
Okay.
So kind of teaching relationships, teaching the skill of how to do this, how to, you know, I just started with a new gal as an example, and we've met two or three times and, you know, we're not having dinner yet together. And so, you know, I hope that it builds to that, but I'm really going to help walk you through why relationship is the foundation of trust. It's the ability when you've got the relationship, then you can speak truth to one another and it's received. Without relationship, the truth can be cold. And, you know, that's not the point of mentoring. And so I'm really going to look at why it's important and then just practically, how do you do it? How do you start with somebody you've never met before and get to a point where you're comfortable? How do you ask questions? How do you become a good listener? Just kind of the nuts and bolts of relationship.
Well, Stephanie, before we get to the other breakouts and some of the logistics around the conference, I got to ask you, you know, how do you test or vet a potential mentee? Because I can imagine there's times where you get a connection and it's like, this is clunky. This doesn't feel like it flows.
That happens. Absolutely. So we do kind of have a process that we go through. There's a lot of different ways to do it, honestly. We've got kind of a questionnaire. We did have a team that would pray about the matching of a mentor and a mentee before. But, you know, I think one thing that's important that you need to establish kind of from the beginning is this freedom of the mentor to speak truth into the mentee's life. So even if you can ask for permission, you know, is it okay if I share, like, when I think you're about to go off the deep end or, you know, I sense something. And so when you've got that permission, you've got a level of honesty and, you know, absolutely matches don't always work out. And sometimes things come up situationally. Sometimes it's just personality wise or somebody may think they want something. And in reality, it's a whole different thing they're looking for. But when you've got that honesty that's already established, you know, it's okay to just say, I don't think I see this working out, or how do you feel about it? Sometimes just offering that question gives them the freedom to say probably what they're feeling as well, which is, I don't think this is working. So we actually have a whole breakout on that very topic.
Wow, very, very
good. You know, what do you do when you're in that situation?
Wow, so. Laura, take it from there. I'd love to hear more about some of these breakouts.
We have one in particular for women's ministry leaders. So if they want to, because our heart's desire is to set the Twin Cities on fire, to want to disciple like we're supposed to be discipling, and in particular, the women. But men, I'm speaking to you as well. So we want to help women launch ministry. So Cindy and I are doing a breakout on what are some really good logistical ways to start and launch a ministry. We also talk about how do you get started. Once you have your mentee, what are some great ways to get started? How do you get into material? We share with them some specific material we use as a recommendation. They can hunt for their own. It's always nice to have a starting point. So we share with them materials. We have a whole online electronic toolkit that they are more than welcome to look at. There's no password. We ain't getting no money on this thing. You know, it's just come and see. In fact, we have had women from across the nation. We don't even know. I just got another email from our women's director saying, can you answer this call from California? California, Virginia, you know, Texas, we've had women call because they found us online. There is a hunger out there.
Excellent. Did you want to add anything?
Well, just a couple of the other breakouts that we're having. One is for mentors on how to have intimacy with God. You know, Henry Blackaby says the most important thing about you is your intimate, loving relationship with the Lord. And we find that as mentors, we need to grow deeply in the Lord, and we need to have that intimacy with Him and what that means and how we can live that out and pass that on. Another one is how to help a mentee get into God's word and help them connect with, because a lot of times we're not, I didn't grow up in the faith, so I didn't know how to get into God's word. So we have practical ways of how to do that and how to hear God's voice through his word.
Boy, that's so good. We're going to pray here in just a moment. But I'm wondering, Stephanie, do you have any advice for first steps they could take when, as far as just prayerfully considering stepping into a mentorship role with someone?
You know, I would say I get so many excuses. I have three little kids at home. A husband is really busy. I understand, like, the desire to say, I do not have time for this. I would say if the Lord's tugging at your heart, obviously I would tell you to pray about that. But I'd also tell you to not feel like this is another addition to your calendar necessarily. I would say look at what you're already doing and ask the Lord to show you areas where you could invite somebody in. So this isn't necessarily a thing about adding more minutes to your life, but it's really taking minutes and turning those into moments.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if the Lord is tugging you to do this, he's going to help you see that. But I'd say don't ignore it. And then just seek out somebody at your church or you can contact us and let us help you, know where to go from there. But don't turn away the opportunity. You would be turning down such a blessing. And the Lord is amazing at maximizing what we're able to give to him. He can just truly open up something that we never saw coming and make a way. Because as you said, we're in his yes when we're doing this.
Yeah.
This is his heart.
Yeah. You know, worked in the fitness industry for a lot of years, and we just noticed such a difference between showing up and doing whatever your workout and then focusing on some specific goals, where it's like focused passion equals forward movement. And I think of the parallel here, you're going to do life with people anyway.
Yeah,
so to bring
right.
some focus to it, you're suddenly going
right.
to get traction in your life and in theirs. And wondering if we could pray. I'd love to have you, Stephanie, if you don't mind praying.
Sure.
For that person listening today who longs for a mentor, and I get emails like this all the time. I ask five different people and they all said no.
Uh-huh.
Would you pray that God would provide the person that they need? And we're going to stand with you as you pray.
That's good. Lord, we are just so grateful for this time together and for the way that you have just gone before us already. God, we thank you for the pattern in your word that we see of generations speaking into generations. Lord, we ask for the people listening today who are sensing the call to mentor. God, would you just make a way for them to do this? Will you orchestrate a relationship? Will you bring a conversation this week into their life? Will you just open a door that they may not even see? And God, I also pray for the person who is seeking a mentor who desperately wants a sister or a brother to walk alongside them, to speak into their life. Again, would you just go before them, Lord, and would you make a way? God, we know that this is dear to who you are, that you are all about loving in the context of a relationship. And so, Lord, we just thank you and praise you. God, we want to make you known. We want to make your name famous. And, Lord, we want to be fully matured disciples of Christ, and we want to make disciples. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity to share, and I do just ask you to move as only you can move. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Cindy,
Amen.
Laura, Stephanie, bless you, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you, Susie.
Wish you God's best in that conference. Looking forward to hearing about it. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next for Hour 2, I'll be talking with Dr. Kent and Amber Brantley. He's the doctor who contracted Ebola virus and how God moved in and changed the world through him. Don't go away. A great story is coming up next.
Psalm 136 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio, and I would like to take this opportunity on behalf of all of us at Faith Radio to say thank you for your prayers and your generous support during our recent spring share. As you know, almost 600 people Faith promised in excess of $265,000. It was by far our best ever spring event. As we think about the days ahead, none of us really know what's in store for us. But we do know this: God is faithful, his word is true, and thanks to your prayers and generous support, Faith Radio will be here to proclaim that good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. thank you again for standing with this ministry. May God's richest blessings be yours. If by chance you would still like to be a part of the Spring Share event, you can visit our website to give safely and simply online at myfaithradio.com.